At this series, and we have learned how we can strive together. In that verse, there's this Greek word, synathleo, which means with striving or together striving. It's not a fighting, but it's an offensive on sometimes, but yet sometimes defensive battle with the evil one. And so we must strive together. We need to be together as a unit. God never intended the body to be apart. And we have looked at Ephesians chapter 4, and we've discussed the perfect illustration that God gives to us. And again, I can come up with all kinds of illustrations, and they can be good, they can be bad, they can be close, they can be kind of far out there. But God's illustrations are always perfect. And He gave us the illustration of what the church is ought to be through the illustration of the physical body. The physical body made up of all kinds of individual body parts, which have a tremendous gifting for a certain function. You know, certain muscles have a specific task in order to do something. Okay, the bicep has a task to flex the arm muscle and to bring these two bones, the different bones, together and to bring that up. The tricep has another function, and that's to extend the arm. And that's to accomplish certain things that you need to reach for, okay? And so it's got its own, its main functions with a various smattering of other functions, but it's got an intended thing for it to do, but within the confines of the body. And so God has made the church the same way. He's given all kinds of different body parts with special giftings. And what's supposed to happen is all of these body parts are to come together, and as we are together, we accomplish something, and that is that we strive together for the faith of the gospel. I always ask you, what's at stake? What is at stake with Faith Bible Church together striving? It's the gospel. The gospel is at stake. If we're a group of people that are not working together to accomplish the task, then it won't happen. We will not fulfill Christ's mission. Okay, so in review, as we look here, we look at the different, I say body parts, the different tasks that needs to be done. Again, not a full list of all the tasks, but just kind of a group of things that in general need to be done. And I've heard some of you talk about this list. It's a big list. It's a lengthy list. There's a lots to do. And again, behind each one of these, there's a lots of things to do behind it. Okay, so this kind of represents the body because it's the body's job to do it, or the individual body parts. As a church, we're supposed to do these things. As a church, we're supposed to fill these things. It's kind of what makes the church what it is. And so it takes all kinds of individual body parts to do some of these things. Now, God tells us in His Word kind of the way in which that is supposed to happen. And so we look at this. And we look at the church and what God has given to the church. Now, who's the first one in the church? All right, it's Christ. Christ is put on top of the church to be the one that is our head, to be the leader. And every one of us needs to look to Christ to lead us and guide us. In fact, any church or any pastor that's not looking to Christ to lead, but instead a group, a committee, or a person to lead that church is looking to the wrong one. Christ is the leader, and it's our job to find out what Christ wants. It's not our job to figure out what we think that we need. No, it's God's job to show us, Christ's job to show us or to demonstrate. In fact, a big part of this is Christ demonstrating to us His way to accomplish His mission. But of course, we're human beings, and so there needs to be some sort of leadership, humanly speaking, which God has ordained through His Word, in which we follow, and so that we know what to do as the body of Christ. Okay, and so He's given to the church the pastor, or as you'll see here in just a moment, the possibility of pastors to help with the work of the ministry. Of course, the pastor or the pastors, they go through, and their job is to do what? Now, in the very end of tonight, I want to take you back to Ephesians 4 and show you something of how all of this works together in Ephesians 4. But the job of the pastor is to do what? Is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So here we have the pastor, a pastor's equipping the body of Christ, FBC body parts, okay? to do the work of the ministry. That's all of that. That list that you just saw, doing the things that God wants us to do to please Him. And there's a lot of things to do. I mentioned about with the help of the pastors. Now, where does the work of the ministry go to? Why do we do the work of the ministry? Just to stay busy? No. The work of the ministry is done for the edification of the body. Okay? So that the body of Christ, so the church would be, what's another word for edification? Built up, right? And there's more ways. Edification generally is talking, or specifically is talking about each individual body part being strengthened and encouraged to go on and do that very thing, which, by the way, today is going to really be that edification that I want to talk to you about. To do that work of the ministry, but also then the church is not fulfilled when we just get strong and stay there. It's then to go out and reach the world in Christ's mission. So we have this goal of edification for the gospel's sake. All right, so how do we get there? You know what? That sounds good, preacher. Okay, so you know, we got our church here. This is the picture of the body, and we've got all these body parts, and we've got to do all this so that the work of the ministry, pastor, is teaching us so we can do the work of the ministry so that everybody is edified and the body would grow. And our question is how do we accomplish that? And what's the answer to that? We have to look where? At Jesus' model. We've got to look and see what Jesus did. He gave us a perfect model of what to do and how to do it in His earthly ministry that He only was here for a little while. And I'll tell you what, that earthly ministry, which was set, we say 3 years, but as I established last week, 18 months really that He really had with these 12 disciples to train them to do this work was kind of an amazing thing. So we look at Jesus' model. What was Jesus' model, by the way? All right, His model, I'm just going to give you the four, and then we'll I'll kind of go through and review and deal with each one of these. His model, first of all, is we discover and see His mission to us. Second of all, we look at His means, which, by the way, His means is who? The church, okay? So His mission was Himself. His means is the church. Thirdly, His method, which, if you want a word there, we could put His group that we looked at last week. And then fourthly, and today, and finally, we will look at the last one, His medium, okay? His medium. I'll say more about that here in just a moment. All right, I'm going to go quickly through these. This is just review. So we looked at His mission, His life displayed before men. And first of all, if I can get it to come up here. He came to earth to declare His mission. That's what He came to do. He came to declare to us what it was. And His Father sent Him. He came to declare it. B, He came and He passes His mission on to us. So He came for His mission. He passes it on to us. And then thirdly, or C, we discovered that He is the mission. What do we take from this? What's the main objective? First of all, without Christ, there is no mission. Without Christ, there is no mission. But along with that, without Christ's mission, so what He came to this earth to declare, what He passes on to us, it is Himself. Without Christ's mission, there is no victorious Christian life because we're here with no purpose, okay? No purpose. We go to the next. All right, what was His means? So He is the mission. And I hope you're following there. You can see you have your own or up here. Next, we have His means, His life proclaimed to all men. And so we looked at that. And by the way, His means, okay, is the church. The church. And that's what He uses. God has elected to use His people to accomplish. Let me ask you a question. Could God or could Jesus have, I say, push a button? He didn't need to push a button. He could have spoke a word. Could He evangelize the whole world with a word? He could have. He could have done it. He could have saved everybody in an instant, but He didn't. In fact, Jesus Christ didn't set out to do it Himself. He didn't go around Himself to accomplish the gospel to all the known world. By the way, I said the known world last week and how the whole world is evangelized. I'm not saying that there was any other people outside that region. But to these folks, this was their, if we could say, Western Hemisphere. Or this was their North America or even the United States. This was their living area in which they went. And of course, later, you know, Paul in going to Rome, and then even beyond that, his desire to go to Spain. Yeah, there were other people out there, but if I say the known world, I use that term very loosely, reaching that known world right there together. Christ didn't do it himself. He used his people, and first of all, he used his church. His church to, first of all, evangelize. That's discovery, which we'll talk more about this morning. Evangelize. Tell people, declare the truth so that they can hear it for the first time. We've got to evangelize. Second of all, this is the obedience. This is the identification, or if we could say even baptism, okay? That they would teach all nations. Then secondly, baptizing, that's identification. So not only that they would hear or discover the truth, but then they could take it for themselves. This is who I am. It's an identification. Thirdly, the church then prepares and commissions. This is the sharing part of it, again, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. The helping people not only discover something, but then go out and obey it, but then to share it so that other people can be reached. And part of that is discipleship, which we've already gone through. Let's look at the main point here that we need to take away from this. Without Christ's church, which is his means. Again, a means is not the end. You understand that we don't come to church just because we come to church and this is the end. The church is a means to accomplish something. And what is that? It's Christ's mission. We have Christ's missions, and he uses the church to accomplish something. Without Christ's church or the means, there would be no completion of his mission. We need Christ's church. We need the church to complete that. And he's elected to use us in his mission. His method we looked at last week. His life transferred to men. You know, Jesus could have done it himself, but what does he decide to do? He selects. He selects a group of men. In fact, 12 men to start off with. He selects 12 men and he puts those 12 men around him. So we look at the organization. He organizes a group around him, a group of men that he brings together. And by the way, these men that he organized together, were they some special individuals that had a lot of talents? No, in fact, they were unlearned and ignorant men. What's the only prerequisite that was given for these men that he gathered? That they be willing. They were just willing to do it. Would you follow me? And they dropped their nets and they followed. So he organized this group of unlearned and ignorant fishermen, tax collectors, publicans, zealots, one of them. And he brings them together. So he organizes them. He selects a group. And then what does he do for 18 months? He shapes them. He teaches them. He equips them to do the work of the ministry. And then see, he sanctions. All power is given unto me. And then he gives them the power to go out and to do the work of the ministry. So they're organized, they're equipped, they're empowered. And he then sends them. He commissions them to go out. What do we gather from this? Without Christ's group, okay, so we're seeing his mission. Wow, what a huge task. What's the means? Well, it's the church. Not individually, it's the church. Well, it's not just the church. What does he do? Well, he gets a small group. Without Christ's group, there would be no multiplication. And so we look at this. Without multiplication, there would be no completed mission. No completed mission. There's no way that unless we decide to multiply that we can reach the earth. Now let me ask you a question. How hard would it be for one individual to tell everybody the gospel message so that everybody could be saved? Hard is a word. I would take that word to impossible. You see, Christ did not commission just individuals to do it. But you take a group of 80 to 100 people. I would still say hard, but I would still say probably impossible. But see, that's addition. If we go out and we just add another person and add a person, no, what Christ's method is multiplication. So what Jesus did, and we spent the time last week going over this, what Jesus did, Jesus could have went everywhere, but he left his crowds, he left his multitudes, he left the church, and those last few years, especially those 18 months, he focused on 12 individuals. He focused on those 12 so that they could do that work. Now, we looked at the illustration. We're going to look again and improve upon this at the end. But here we have this dot, okay? And we're going to just say that this dot, in one sense, is Christ, okay? And Christ had the multitudes around him. There were people here and people there. And in fact, in his early ministry, wherever Jesus went, they continued to show up everywhere, right? And in fact, he had so many people there, it was like how to meet the needs of all of these people. So what did he do? He decides to send the crowds away. In those last 18 months, he gets a group of 12 men that were right around him. And he pours himself into these individuals, that training process. He equips these men so that they would do what? So that they would go out. And we take each one of these 12 men, of course, ends up with 11, with Judas Iscariot, but these 12 men go out. And I'll tell you what we find in the book of Acts is this people going out. And they actually went, and they went out, and they spread the light of Jesus Christ to the known world. Kind of an amazing thing. And the world is really reached. You know, he takes these 12 individuals, and he begins to, you know, he trained them to do that work. And as they went out, you know, again in Acts, we see then these men, you know, going where they go and doing what they're doing, founding churches, starting this, witnessing, sharing the gospel. And you know what? It was a matter of, what did we discover last week? It was in the area of 15, 20, 25 years that this, again, known world is, I'm not saying everybody got saved, but I remember Paul writing, you know what, that wherever I've preached, that they've heard the gospel. Now again, you say, how did that happen? I'll tell you, it's multiplication. You take one individual giving to that work, and we end up with a variety. And I'll tell you what, it continues to go from there, continued on and on. So that's what we've learned so far, okay? I want to take you to the next thing, and so let's get into it. I've kind of reviewed. Let's look at Christ's medium. Now, this is where everything is going to hopefully come in and make sense that I have set this up for. Here we have his life experience to all men. Now, remember, all right, his mission is who? Jesus Christ, right? And is it important? Yes, and in fact, that first message that we had, we see the attitude. Folks, if I could pass one thing from that first message, you know, and we looked at this mission, it was the practicality of it was just the attitude. This is important. If it was important to Christ, should it be important to us? Absolutely. It's important to us. The second message on the church, this is practical and say, you know what? The church needs to engage, teaching, baptizing, and teaching, equipping so that they can go out and do the work of the ministry. Last week, his method, the practical of it is organization. We need to do something to bring the church and to get smaller so that we can pour our lives. You know, Melissa and I were talking about this recently, and do you realize how hard it would be even, not just to get all around ourselves to Mount Joy and Elizabethtown, but do you realize how hard it really is to mentor and disciple all 80 or 90 of you? That is a task. You know, to really pour that time that Jesus spent with those disciples. Yet it is my job to do that. So what am I as a pastor going to do? And this is what comes. First of all, I want you to see, as we look at his medium, we see his life experienced by all men. Okay, so first of all, the point is to discover. This is what I call an encounter with God's Word. Now, is it important that we all look at God's Word and read God's Word? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Without God's Word, we have nothing. So we need to discover it. You know that there are some 28 times in the Gospels that it is said that Jesus taught. And he taught, referring to those disciples. He taught them. He taught them to do this. He taught them to do that. And it was time for the disciples of Jesus to discover what he was teaching them. You know, other times we see the crowd of disciples says that they heard or they saw. This is called discovery. There's learning. Yet at other times he commands. And many times we read that he commanded. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture. Go to Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. Okay, we're going to be turning to a number of passages here in just a little bit. Go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. Please keep all these things in mind now as the final. Okay, how is this going to get very practical? We see what Jesus is doing, so he helps them to discover. So he teaches them and they hear. Mark 9:31. I just put a few verses down so that you can see it to remind you that this is what Jesus has done. Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. And what are his disciples doing right now? I can almost see their faces. What? You see, they're taking it in. So he's teaching them things, and there's discovery right there. Now, did it take the disciples a little bit longer than just the first time when Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 that he was going to leave them and that he was going to be killed and he was going to rise the third day? Again, this being one of the first times is going to be new thoughts for them, even though they could have went back to the prophets and they could have said something was said about this, but they didn't understand. And so Jesus teaches them more. So there's teaching, there's discovery. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Go back to Matthew. Remember the story of the wise man? The kids sing the song, "Wise." The wise man built his house upon the rock. One of the main points of this story is what? It's discovery. It's that they hear. And then we'll get to the next point, what they do with that. But that they hear. I'll tell you something. We don't know what to do if we don't hear it. We've got to discover it. He says in Matthew 7 and verse 24, therefore whosoever what? Heareth these sayings of mine. And then of course he's going to get and do with them. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He's got to hear them. He's got to hear them. There's got to be some discovery. Go to the third gospel. Go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. The disciples are lacking, and they need some help. And one of them discovers something, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. What are they saying? We need to discover this. We need to discover. We don't know. How do we pray? What do we do? And there's a discovery. And Jesus opens up his mouth, which to us today, we don't hear his mouth, but it's recorded right where? Right here in the Word. This is discovery. This is teaching. This is training. This is Jesus opening his mouth to his disciples. Right here. And he's teaching them. And so, Lord, teach us. One last passage. Well, not one last. We'll go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. And seeing the multitudes. Matthew 5, 1 and 2. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. He's about ready to give them discourses on this mount of all kinds of things in the next couple chapters of what they need to do. And so he's teaching them. You know, in John chapter 14 and verse 21, as he's talking, he says, Jesus to his disciples, he that hath my commandments, he that hath them. Folks, I want you to understand that there's got to be discovery. Of course, how do we discover? Through the scriptures. Well, first of all, there's the reading of scriptures. We have individually Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And of course, you know what will happen with this man. He'll be strengthened, he will be encouraged, and he will grow, and he'll prosper, and he'll bring forth fruit. So we've got to be in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, speaking of that time we receive the Word of God. So individually, but there's the preaching of his Word as well. The preaching of his Word, time when we open up the Word of God and we look and discover. I challenge the Sunday school students that were in the Sunday school class. We need to discover something. Every time the Word of God is open, something that I can take back, a little nugget of truth that I can learn and then I can obey it. We've got to be hearers of God's word. And then, of course, there's the reading, the preaching, and the teaching of his word, teaching them to observe all things. This is the discipleship, the training part and aspect of the ministry in which Jesus, of course, gave them. Remember the psalmist saying in Psalm 119:18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold," that discovery, "wondrous things out of thy law." All right, let me get very practical. You say, okay, preacher, I understand that we're supposed to discover things. Read God's word, get something out of it. Go to church and hear preaching and discover something out of it. And to listen to teaching Sunday school or listen to somebody else teach something, a seminar, and discover something out about that. Practically, what do we need to do? Of course we need to preach. Of course we need to read. Of course we need to discover through teaching. But I want you to go back to the points. Remember what Jesus did. He said, okay, I am the mission. And my mission needs to be accomplished through the church to get out to all men. And how I do that is in small groups, I'm going to pour my heart into a group of individuals. Folks, I want to tell you that we need to come to a place that we are in a small group setting. We're taking what Jesus did and that we can learn what he did with his disciples, that they would discover. Can you imagine the discovery level if it was just all the multitudes? No, but I'll tell you what, with the disciples, they could discover something. You know, and that is sitting down and going through in a small group, a disciple, helping a group, just a few people, understand what the scriptures are saying and discovering the truth of God. And I'll tell you what, it's very simple, and it will be that simple. So sitting down in a small group, opening up the scriptures, and in a very simple way. I'm not talking about in a necessarily a teacher way, or not necessarily even in a pastor way, getting deep into the scriptures, but in a simple way saying, what can we discover through this truth? Very important. And this is what Jesus did. He taught them. They discovered what they did. So what we look at here is striving together to discover God's truth. Do you think that we need to do that? Should our church strive together? Okay, what was Jesus' way? Well, his way was he got a small group of people so that they could discover. And I want to tell you something. When you discover with a smaller group of people, so much more comes out of it. So much more comes out of it. Now, lest you're jumping ahead of where we're going to go, we're not talking about eight individuals teaching eight individuals. Remember, there needs to be leadership. Jesus taught his disciples, and when his disciples went out, who taught? His disciples, around groups of people, and the masses were reached because of the small groups. But let's look at the next thing. So there's discovery. Very important that as a group, our church discovers in a small group setting so that we can truly learn what God's word is teaching us. But for what? If we just learn and grow individually, we get puffed up. We know we need more of that. We need to learn so that we can, secondly, obey. And this is not to discover an encounter with God's word. So we need to take God's word and discover something. Second of all, we need to obey. And that's a response that follows whatever Christ said. Now, can you imagine if Jesus went to the disciples, taught them, but they never obeyed? Well, things fall short and the mission is not accomplished. Aren't you thankful that Peter obeyed? I am. I'm thankful that Peter obeyed. I'm thankful that John obeyed. I'm thankful that Matthew obeyed. I'm thankful that these men obeyed. So secondly, we see obey, a response that follows Christ, whatever Christ said. You know, Jesus certainly cared that we heard what his commandments were, discovery. But if we do not hear and discover, then we cannot do anything that he wants us to do. So that's not enough. Go back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. That parable, again, about the wise man building his house upon a rock. What did he say? He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, so there has to be discovery, but then what? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man. You see, it's one thing to take it and discover it. It's another thing to do something with it. John chapter 14 and verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. That's doing. He is it that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. What does James chapter 1 and verse 22 tell us? Not just to be hearers, but doers. So is discovery important? We've got to discover what God's Word says, but secondly, we've got to be a doer. There's got to be an outlet. We've got to go and do something with it. A lack of obedience to God's discovered Word brings hypocrisy and soon and coming defeat. Let me say that again. The lack of obedience to God's discovered Word. So that's implying that you've discovered it. You've heard it. It's what you're doing right now. You're discovering what it says, but not obeying. A lack of obedience to God's discovered Word brings hypocrisy. In other words, we're coming to church and we're hearing, we're discovering, but we're doing nothing with it. It's kind of like the glass in James chapter 1. You're a hypocrite. You come and you hear it, but you don't do anything about it. What does he say? You're foolish. It's almost like you went and you saw, but you didn't. You're pretending like you were okay. It's hypocrisy. It brings hypocrisy, but also soon defeat. A group of people that are coming and discovering and not obeying. Folks, beware of a church. Listen to this. A church, beware that they will come and the preacher will share God's truth, give them God's truth. They have the nugget of truth right there to take home, but they don't do anything with it. Beware, because there's coming destruction. It will be soon defeat. How many times, this is practical, how many times have you discovered God's Word, the preacher, the teacher, whoever, your devotions, you read God's Word, you saw something, you knew you needed to do something about it, but you didn't do it? Isn't it easy to forget very quickly? You know what? Next week I can ask you what we learned today, and some of you will sit there for a while and be like, oh, I can't remember for the life of me. I'll tell you one of the reasons why we can't, and I'm not giving you a spanking here or whatever. This is all of us. Sometimes I can't even hardly remember what I preached. One of the reasons why we come to that is because we're not being obedient doers. Can you imagine if you take what you heard home and all week long you were practicing it? I got to do this. I've got to obey this. And I'm, okay, so be kind one to another. And you go home and you're going to obey that. And so you make goals. I'm going to be kind to my brothers and sisters. I'm going to be kind to my coworkers. I'm going to be kind. And you set goals. How you're going to be kind. I'll tell you, when you obey it, you're probably going to remember it. A lot of times we're not obedient. I feel like the ball is dropped right here. We do a lot of discovering, but we're not obedient. So we've discovered God's Word, but we've not followed through with it. My guess is we've done this loads of times. You remember Samuel, chapter 15 and verse 23 of 1 Samuel? It was called rebellion and the sin of witchcraft when he simply decided not to obey God. God told him to do certain things. He did not obey it. All right, practically, we discover God's truth in a small group setting. We learn it, and it gets very practical to us, and we decide to go out and obey it. You know what? Small groups offer consistent, heartfelt accountability. You know what? There's hardly any accountability when it's in a group this size. It's very difficult to preach a message and then to get around and say, all right, you know, how did you practice that this week? You know what? It's not very practical. Then I'm going to call or text or email whatever you this week and ask you, you know, so did you, you know, this week you told me on the way out that you said, you know what, I needed that and I need to do that. So how are you doing with that? Did you do it? You know what? And that's my job, to get out and do that. Well, I want to tell you something. When you go to a small group, it becomes so much more practical because you have an individual there that has four, five, or six individuals around them. They can say, how are you doing with this? There's a whole lot more of knowing what each other's going through. And what's going on, and the difficulties. And you last week said that you wanted to obey this nugget of truth. Well, Joe, how did you obey that? How did you do that? Now, let me ask you a question. Is it important that we discover? Well, we better discover. Is it important that we obey? It is. Folks, I want to tell you something that we lose in the multitudes in the group. We lose accountability. I want to tell you something. If we really care, the small group is going to help us be accountable with things that are going on. Most of you don't know what struggles that I had this past week and what I need to work on and what I even said last week from the messages that were preached of what I need to do. You don't know that. But I tell you what, you get a small group around you that you can discover and learn, and you can help those people to get to that point. Do you think that it would be a good thing if our church would get to the point to where we were actively not only discovering but obeying what we learned? Do you think there would be a small increase or a big increase in our ability to serve the Lord and also do what Christ has commissioned us to do if we would be accountable to each other with what we have learned and discovered the previous Sunday? Do you think that there would be, our church would gain and be edified because of accountability in what we are doing with obedience? I do. Absolutely. Because there is that accountability partnership there. It's striving together as we discover, as we obey. We need each other to do this. I want to tell you, there's a lot of us living life discovering without obedience. But then that brings us to the third thing, and that's sharing with somebody else. Sharing with somebody else, a desire that others would hear and follow Christ. Does God ever tell us in His Word that we need to take what we've learned and transfer it to anybody else? Any passages come to mind? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 really quick. We've already looked at this passage in previous messages. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. You're not supposed to just take it and even just obey it and keep it for yourselves. But no, you're supposed to transfer it to somebody else. That's to share it with somebody else. Paul says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," he's talking to Timothy, "the same." So what you've heard, there's the discovery. And I trust that Timothy obeyed that. "The same that you have taken through these discovery and obedience, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This brings us to that third point of sharing. We need to give it to other people. Think about the Great Commission. What did he tell them? He says, "Go ye therefore and teach." Okay, there's the discovery. Tell people about Christ. And then he says, "Baptize them." There's the obedience part. There's the putting it to action. There's the identification. And then what does he say thirdly in the verse word in verse 20? Teaching them. There's a discipleship. It's what Paul is telling Timothy. I want you to just not take it for yourself and learn and just do it, but I want you to transfer it to somebody else. You've got to tell somebody else so that they will take it and learn and transfer it to other people, and the cycle will continue. Small groups enable us to systematically encourage others and be accountable to go out to tell other people what we're learning and bring them in. We can't do this in this setting like this. And by the way, we're going to continue to preach in the morning worship service. But we need an avenue to be accountable as a group that we are doing Christ's mission. Because I don't know about you, by myself, I don't do a very good job. We need the church. We need encouragement. We need the group around us to accomplish what God has set out for us to do. We do this by, listen to what I learned this week. God has taught me something, and I want to transfer that to you. Wouldn't that be good in your life? And I'll tell you what, I believe our world is hurting. I believe our world wants to discover some sort of something and truth, and they're not going to get it through just inviting them to church. But I'll tell you what, you tell somebody how God has changed your life, and I believe that that's going to be something that people are interested in. You got victory over anger? You've got help with this in your life. You struggled with this. Well, so do I. So what's the answer? I'm just supposed to go to church? I'm just supposed to pray? No. Let me show you from God's Word. Come to my Bible study and see how God can change a life. How God can change a life. All right. I want to show you something. Here's the crux of this. Without experiencing Christ every day, the mission will have no strength. You know, daily intake is what gives us strength, physically, but also spiritually. If we're not going to discover, if we're not going to obey, if we're not going to share it with somebody else, the mission loses strength. It gets weak because we've dropped the ball with one of these areas: discovering, obeying, and sharing. We do this through Christ's means, the church, His method, small group. And we, in a group, discover, we decide to obey and be accountable, and we take the opportunity to go and share. All right. Just wanted to show something. I want to go back to this. I just kind of want to walk through this practically. So you're an individual. Christ didn't want you to set out and do things on your own. But we have all kinds of people that are out there, and you say, how do we accomplish this? How do we do this? I want you to see this in the in the small group setting now. We looked at Christ. We looked and we walked right through this and we see how Christ did this. Masses of people, how are we going to do it? You know, individually as or even as a church, we look and say, how are we going to reach the community? There's too many people out there. So what we do is we follow Christ's model. And what I want you to do now is look at this. Is not, I said this is Christ or this was a discipler and see what he did. But I want you to look at this as now as a table. Okay, so here's a table. And what we do is we get this table and we get a group of disciples around us. Okay, so we get these disciples around us, and in a very clear way, what do we do with them first? We help them to discover, right? We teach them. We help them to discover God's truth. We take what has been inside of us, and see, we're fulfilling what we just learned. We're taking that last aspect of sharing, and now I'm going to teach somebody else. And so there, now these individuals, and 12 is just because of what Christ had. We don't have to have 12. But you're able to teach them so that they discover some things from God's truth. Okay? Then these individuals, what do? Okay, they're going to share, but they first of all got to go, right? They've got to do it. They've got to obey. They've got to go out into their world and practice what they have learned. This is through the week, Tuesday. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do what I learned on Sunday. And so they go out and they all go out and obey. But then they're going to do something else. They're going to share. Now again, for illustration, for ease in what I did, of course, there's going to be 12 more dots. It's not that we've got to go out and share with 12 other people. I just want you to see the power of multiplication. You go out and share with some people who will then take that and do what? They will come in and they will get around that table and they'll do what first? Discover. Just simple truths of discovery. This is what this passage is saying. It's not anything super deep. It's just discovery of the main emphasis of what God is getting across here. Well, that is good. And right away, that discovery goes to, how am I going to obey it? I'll tell you what, it's very important that I've got to obey this. And within that, there's that obedience. And then, of course, with that obedience, then what do we have to do with it? Share it, okay? And so we take that and we share it with somebody else, and multiplication takes place. I want to do a little bit of a little exercise with you in our last few minutes here. Let's go. I don't have it on the screen here, but I want you to take. Do you see on your sheets there on the back side? Of course, there's the very last quadrant. Okay, the last thing there. If you have a pen or a pencil, I'm gonna ask you to do certain things, okay, as I go through this, okay? The first verse that's listed there is John chapter 14 and verse 21. Okay, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to have you take your pen or pencil and do something with that. He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." What I want you to do is take a pen or a pencil, and above the word "hath," the third word in, I want you to put a D over that. A D. All right. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." I want you to put over the word "keepeth," I want you to put an O. Okay? The letter O. All right, go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth," I want you to put a D over that word, heareth. D. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth," over the word "doeth," I want you to put an O. "I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock." All right, we have James chapter 1 and verse 22. I also want you to look at verse 25 there. They're on the sheet right there. "But be ye doers." I want you to put an O above doers. "But be doers of the word and not hearers." I want you to put a D above hearers. Hearers. and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, but whoso looketh, put a D above the word looketh, into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth, put an O above continueth. This is verse 25. Continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Of course, there's a couple words here that go back to those first two. Let's go to John 15:10. If ye keep, okay, put an O. Put an O above the word keep. He that keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Go to the next. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do, I want you to put an O in front of, or on top of the letter, or the word do. And teach. Now I want you to put an S above teach. Teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. And then Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Teaching, put a letter S over that. Teaching them to observe, put an O above that. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Put a D over that word. Commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now here's Christ's medium. This is what he did. And we take these passages of Scripture and we see what Christ did. All right, A there. What do we have? An encounter with Christ's word. What is that? Here we have all of our D's. What does this stand for? Discover. Are we supposed to discover what God has for us? We are. We're supposed to discover it. So you can write in there, discover. An encounter with Christ's word. Discover. Certainly Christ led his people to discover the truth. All right, what about letter B? A response that follows whatever Christ said. What is this? The O represents obey. Obey. We've got to do that. And he certainly told those disciples, obey, discover and obey what I tell you to do. Be a doer of it. So we discover, we obey, a response that follows whatever Christ said. And then, of course, you know what the last is. And that is the S, share, a desire that others would also hear and follow Christ. Share it with other people. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. We can do a lot of different things so that people can learn. But I'll tell you, as we look in the Scriptures, this is what Christ used to transfer his mission to other people. Discover what he says, obey what he said, and share it with somebody else so that they can learn as well. And what happens? It's multiplication. People will also discover and obey and share. And so to tell you the truth, I'm not going to give you all of the answers right now of what is actually going to happen. I believe, as I give this to you, it doesn't have to be Sunday school, but Sunday school is a perfect opportunity for us to utilize this, because we're not going to, in a group setting like that for church, go into small groups. I don't think that it would be proper, and I don't think it'd be right. I think there needs to be preaching of God's word. That's one of the main foundations of church, is preaching. We're not going to get rid of that. But there's another element that we have in our Sunday school that we have with teaching. It's supposed to be kind of a teaching and transferring time, but we've almost made it into another preaching time. We just kind of get together. You can do it in different ways where you can teach. But I think that it's a good opportunity to take this Sunday school and do some of this teaching, discovery, practically trying to get into individuals' life to help them to obey, so that then we can go out and share And I want to tell you something. What's really neat about this that I look at it, when you look at this small group way of doing it, and this will kind of blow your mind when I say this, but really it's doing church on a small level. Do you know that each individual groups of small groups of people is church? That's exactly what church is. Think about it. It's discovering what God says. It's obeying it. And it's reproducing yourself and somebody else. That's what church is. And by the way, we get our church planting model from this as well. That's how churches are planted. You discover the truth. You help people obey it. You share it with other people. And a church is formed. You see, it's all the same philosophy in how you look at it. And we can talk philosophy all day. But I'll tell you something. I would rather observe and see what Christ did. And that worked. We can talk about a lot of different ways and methods and how we're going to grow our church. And I think one of the ways is to do it the way Jesus Christ has done it. How did Jesus do it? Well, he didn't go out himself and reach the world, but instead he transferred himself to 12 men. Those men went out and transferred themselves to other men, and those people went out and the world was reached. I believe with all of my heart, I believe that no longer do we have to look at Mount Joy and Elizabethtown. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't stop there. It really ends with the entire world. That's the whole scope. I do believe with all of my heart that Christ would not have given to us a mission to accomplish something that we could never do. And we can't do it individually, but we can do it through multiplication. And I believe that the model that is given to us is the small group to do that. Now again, I'm not saying that you're saying, Pastor, that Sunday school is the key to everything. Well, I do believe it is the key to a lot of things. But I believe it's a way that we can model what Christ has done so that we can do it. Now, there's a lot of questions still left unanswered in your minds, and we'll get to these in teaching. But as we close, here's what I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I've ended now this short series. We can put that screen up, Zach. We'll be done with that. We've ended these four lessons. We're still going to be talking about striving together. But what we'd like to do now is I have kind of given you the vision at large of what we'd like to do. My job now is as I start to select and get some people right around me. And by the way, were those 12 men special people that were just some treasured things that had all kinds of potential? Remember, they weren't. It was just some willing people. And so I'd like to gather a few people around me that I can spend some time next several months and start to disciple and train of how we can do this so that they can reproduce themselves, how that they can teach somebody else to discover, obey, and share. And I'm going to put a lot of emphasis on that here in the next several months, and I'm going to try to do that. So you're not going to hear a ton about this. You know, we're going to continue to preach through the word. We're going to continue to do different things, talk about striving together. But for a little while now, I'm going to start to do that with some individuals that seem on board and want to be involved in that, want to give themselves through these things and spend some time training them and get them. And then what I'd like to do is once that they're trained, I want to talk about this again and see the importance. Then I'd like to do is implement that with our Sunday school and begin to practice doing this. An individual taking and discovering a passage, and it will be as a whole church, discovering what the passage says, then sitting and discovering how we can be accountable with each other. So how can we be obedient specifically this week to do it? And then figuring out who we're going to share it with. And I'll tell you what you do the next week is you get back together and you say, hey, were you able to obey what you said last week? Did you share it with Joe, you know, your partner at work who you said you were going to? And we see, wow, this is happening. You know, were you able to invite him to, yeah, actually he wants to come next week. No, he didn't come. No, I didn't tell him. All right, well, we're going to need to try to tell him. Try to get him to come. Try to get him involved in this small group. And what happens is every once in a while, we're going to finally get some people that want to also discover some truth. And they'll be able to come and we'll be able to divide up. You know what? The table will get a little bit bigger and we'll be able to divide up and start another small group with that. And I'll tell you, the church grows this way. I know there's probably lots of questions about it, but could you just do this? There's been a lot of praying. You know what? This is what the deacons and myself, we went out to Wisconsin to learn some more about this. We've seen it, and I'll tell you, they could vouch for it. That church is not a church that we have to be everything like, but I'll tell you, they have been doing this for I forget how many years, the last 20-some years. They've been doing this, maybe even more, and they're literally watching themselves multiply and doing the right thing. Why? Because they're doing Christ's model. They're discovering, they're obeying, and they're sharing. And the church, you should see Sunday school. Now, this is just practical here. I'm just telling you this. Sunday school in that church is where that church revolves around, that Sunday school. And I'll tell you what, that place is alive during Sunday school. There are so many visitors that are coming, and they're doing this. And all they're doing is this. They're discovering, and they're obeying, and they're sharing. And because it's within a small group, people are motivated to come, and they're doing it. And they don't even tell people you need to stay for the service. No, these people are naturally staying for the service. Some of them leave, but they're discovering God's word, and eventually they do come, and they become a part of the service. And things are really happening. But I want to tell you something. Our model is not that. Our model is Christ and what he gave to us. And I believe that we can also see, if we follow what Christ has done, I think that we can see this work in our church. I trust that you'll pray about it. Ask me questions. We'll talk more about it. We will try to, we're going to have to figure out how it's going to work and all the ins and outs of it. But I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope that it's made sense. I want to encourage you to take your sheets home and look at it, listen to them over again, get it to where it makes sense in your lives, and I hope that we can put this to practice sometime soon. Not going to be super soon, but we've got to do some training, got to get ready for it. But I'm hoping that maybe sometime in the spring we can move towards this type of discovery, Bible study, small group setting so that we can accomplish Christ's mission and see the world reached. I believe that we could. It's going to take a lot of disciples discovering, obeying, and sharing. And to tell you the truth, it would take even a number of churches reproduced to meet the needs. But I think that it can be done. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Kind of interesting how we come through this, but we see your the way you have set things, certainly a model for us. We're not commanded to do Sunday school or to do this, but Lord, we certainly want to take what we have learned and do it, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd burden our hearts to, even whether Sunday school or not, God, would you help us on a daily basis to discover, obey, and share? Would you please help us to do that? Lord, I pray that we could do it on a church level as well. God, I thank you for the model that Jesus Christ has given to us. Lord, help us just to be channels, to be tools for you to use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.